try. Yeah, it's gone.
Okay. So we're up to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the fourth line, at Saif HaShmaira. Let's just review what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Yesterday in the Mishnah we were discussing the Zman Kriya Shema. When is the Zman to learn Kriya Shema in the evening? And the first Shita mentioned in the Mishnah was Shita's Rebbe Elazar. It said, at Saif HaShmaira Rishayna. Till the end of the first HaShmaira. I think it's important, in way of introduction, to speak about how time was measured in the time of the Gemara versus the way it's measured in our times. We all have watches and clocks and different types of ways of telling what time it is. They didn't have a world of watches and clocks. They lived in a world of day and night. And the night itself, the model that's always used in the Gemara is that day is 12 hours, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and night is 12 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Obviously, there are adjustments that have to be made for winter and summer. You're only going to get those exact 12-hour day and night in the spring and fall. So you have this 12-hour night with the adjustments during the winter and summer. So you take a night. And we have now what the Mishnah calls a Shmoira. A Shmoira is a watch. As we're going to learn today in the Gemara, during every Shmoira, there's like a changing of the guard. That's the word a Shmoira. It means a watch. There's some sort of a changing of the guard in Shemayim, and maybe even perhaps in this world. So now we have this night. It's 12 hours. We're going to discuss that there are Shmoiras in the night. We're going to see today that there's a machlaikis, either a disagreement to either three or four mishmairis every night. And accordingly, if you take our 12-hour night, if there are three mishmairis in the night, then every mishmar is 4 hours long, 4 times 3 = 12. If there are four mishmairis at the night, then each mishmar is 3 hours long, 4 times 3 = 12. So our Mishnah said that Rebbe Elazar says until the end of the first mishmar. Micah Rebbe Elazar. So the first question the Gemara wants to know is, what does Rebbe Elazar hold? How many mishmaris are there in the night? Ikasavar Sholosh mishmaris have a laila. Does he consider that the night has three mishmaris? But if that's the case, then the Mishnah should have said it much easier. The Mishnah should have said, Leimar Abishas, that the Zman Krishma is until 4 hours into the night, or maybe, as we would call it, into a third of the night. Vikasavar, if Rebbe Elazar holds Abra Mishmaris Hava Laila, that the night has four Mishmaris, fine. So as we explained, every Mishmar is 3 hours, and Lamer at Shalosh Shas. Then I'm say till 3 hours is the Zman Krishma. Why? So we have two questions, essentially. Number one, the question is, how many Mishmaris does Rebbe Elazar say the night has? And after we determine how many Mishmaris Rebbe Elazar says the night has, we then need to understand why did he couch the terminology of the Mishnah in Mishmaris instead of saying 3 hours, at then 3 hours at the end of 4 hours. Zok to Gemara. Loilam Kasava Sholosh Mishmaris Halayla. Number one, Rebbe Elazar holds that there are three Mishmaris to the evening. So then we have a question. Fine, there are three Mishmaris. At the end of the fourth hour is when the Zman Krishma concludes, according to Rebbe Elazar. But why do you say it that way, instead of saying at the end of the fourth hour? V'hok mashmon, what Rebbe Elazar is teaching us, v'ikam mishmaris b'rakia, v'ikam mishmaris b'ara, that there are mishmaris in the heavens, and correspondingly, there are mishmaris here in our world. The Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Omer, the Brisa says, Rebbe Elazar says, Sholosh Mishmaris have a laila. Every night has three Mishmaris. Val kol Mishmar a Mishmar. And we'll discuss soon at what point in a Mishmar. But at every Mishmar, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits, V'shoyi Kari. And he roars as a lion. Shinemar, Hashem Mimoraim Yishag. Hashem from above roars. Umimon Kachoy. From his holy abode, Yitain Kailai. He raises his voice, Shoyag Yishag, he roars al Navehu, crying for the Beis HaMikdash. Navehu is his home, which is the Beis HaMikdash that's been destroyed. That's in Shemayim. But how do we in this world know when the Mishmeres are ending? The similar davar, there's a simon in this world, there's a way of telling in this world. Mishmeru Rishayna, at the first Mishmer, Chamo Noir. It's when a donkey starts to make noise waking up. Shnia, the second Mishmer, Klovim Tsoyakim. Dogs begin to bark. Shlishis, at the third Mishnah, Tinik Yoinik Mishtei Imai. A child who starts to wake up and is hungry and nurses from his mother. V'isha Mesaperis and Bala, and husband and wife who sleep in the same room are also beginning to wake up, and as they wake up, they start talking to each other. Goes the Gemara deeper. So good. We have three Mishmaris in the night, Rebbe Elazar is saying. They're in Shemayim Mishmaris. There are Mishmaris in this world. The Mefarshim explain, why do we need to know when the Mishmaris are? So Mefarshim say, because those are times which are very opportune for tefillah. Because if the Eibishter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, is davening at that time, we ought to be davening also. Specifically davening for the Churban Abayis, for the Golos that we're in. So that we've established. But what are these simonim signs of? Are they signs of the beginning of the Mishmer, the end of the Mishmer? Micah Chosh Rebbe Elazar, when mentioning these signs, what is Rebbe Elazar alluding to? Itchilus Mishmeres Kachashiv. Is he speaking about the beginning of every Mishmer? Tchilus Mishmer Rishayna Simon Alamali. Why do we need to give us a simon or a sign when the first Mishmer is beginning? Urtahu. It's when night begins. When night begins is when it's Mishmer. On the other hand, Isoif Mishmer is Kachashiv. He's giving us the times when every Mishmer ends. So then the obvious question, Soif Mishmer Achron Alamali. Why do we need a sign when the last Mishmer is ending? Yamamahu, when the day begins, the last Mishmer ends, because as we explained, the three Mishmeres go through night. So the Gemara says, the first Teres of the Gemara says, El Choshev Soif Mishmer Rishayna, the signs that he's giving is to give us when the first Mishmer ends. Tchilas Mishmer Achroina, the beginning of the last one. The emtzius emtzisa, the middle of the middle one. Why the middle of the middle one? Because let's figure out, if every mishmer is 4 hours, so the first mishmer takes us into 4 hours into the night. The second mishmer is another 4 hours, so middle of the mishmer will be 6 hours into the night. Going back to what we said at the beginning of this year, that would be chatzos, that would be midnight. And as we just said a moment ago, why are we mentioning all these Mishmeres? We're mentioning these Mishmeres because that's an opportune time to daven. Just like at the changing of the Mishmer, it's a good time to daven. Chatzos is also a very good time to daven. So he gave us a simon for Emtzius Demtzisa, for the middle of the middle one, to tell us when to daven. Continues the Gemara. Bibai Seima. Skula Soif Mishmeres Kachashiv. Rebbe Elazar, when he gave us these signs, is mentioning the end of the Mishmeres. But then we had the obvious question. Why did he have to give us a sign for the end of the last Mishnah? L'mayin afkemina. It's obvious. The end of the last Mishnah is when the day begins. He gave us that sign, L'mikri Krishma, for someone who wants to say the Krishma. Lamandagoni Babay's awful. He's sleeping in a dark house. He has all the shades down and he's scared to open them up because he's sleeping, as we said, in the same room as his wife. He doesn't want to wake her up. But he wants to know when's the time to say Krishma. So if he gets this simonim that the day is beginning, people are waking up, babies are coming to be nursed, he knows that's a simon that he should now learn Krishma and say Krishma. The Layadas Ma Krishma Imus, he doesn't exactly know when is the time when he could lay in Krishma. However, Kivin the Ishim is Saparis and Bala. If he knows it's the time when a woman is, husband and wife are speaking with each other, the Tinek Yoinik Mishtei Imai, and the children, the babies are nursing from the mothers, Lakim Velikri, it's the time to get up and say Krishma. Continues the Gemara. Omrav Yitzhak Bashmul Mishmei the Rav. Gimel Mishmaris Hava Laila. There are three Mishmaris every night. At every Mishmer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. V'omer, and what does he say? Oy lebonim, woe is it for my children? Shebavonoseim hechrafti es beisi, because of their sins I destroyed my beis hamikdash. V'sarafti es hecholi, and I burnt it. V'glisim lebeinu umos oilam, and now we are in exile amongst the nations of the world. The Ein Yaakov, the Mefarshim of the Ein Yaakov, asks a nice question. Actually, it seems to be a dual expression. Oy lebonim shebavonoseim hechrafti es beisi. I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, v'sarafti es hecholi, and I burnt it. Isn't that really saying the same thing? So the Ein Yaakov says two answers. One answer is that it's difficult to understand how could a Beis HaMikdash be destroyed? The Beis HaMikdash is the Makom HaShechinah. It's the place of God. God can't be destroyed. So Pshat is like this. First, hechrafti es beisi. I removed my Shechinah from the Beis HaMikdash. Once I removed my Shechina from the Beis HaMikdash, the Sarafti as Hecholi, then the Beis HaMikdash, without God in it, is able to be burnt. Another pshat I saw is that we all know there's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, there's a Beis HaMikdash in this world, and there was a Beis HaMikdash Shalmal, there was a Beis HaMikdash in heaven, corresponding to the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata. So Sarafti as Hecholi is going on the Beis HaMikdash. Hechrafti is basically the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, the Sarafti Seicholi, also the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, corresponding to the Beis HaMikdash in this world, was both Batei Mikdash were destroyed. Tanya, continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yossi, we're quoting a Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pamachas Hayisi Mahalach Baderech. I was once on the road. V'nechnasti l'chur v'achas m'churvas yom Yerushalayim l'spala. I went into one of the houses of Yerushalayim where it was destroyed, to daven. Why did he go into the house to daven? This is a halachic issue. He was on the road. It came the time to daven. It came the time to pray. He did not want to pray on the road because l'chatchila somebody shouldn't daven on the road because you can't have the proper kavanah, you can't have the proper concentration standing on Broadway and davening with all the traffic going back and forth. So he saw this house. It was a dilapidated house, but he figured he could go in there and have peace and quiet while he davened. Bo Elio Zoch L'Toif, Elio came, V'shom Elio L'Pesach, waited at the doorway, At Shesiyamti Tfilosi, until I concluded davening. Lachas Shesiyamti Tfilosi, after I finished davening, Omeli Shalom Alech Rebbe, he greeted me with a Shalom Aleichem. V'marti Loi, so I responded, Shalom Alech Rebbe Amayri. As we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there is a Chiv, there's an obligation. If anyone greets you with a Shalom Aleichem, you have to respond with a Shalom Aleichem. Amali, b'ni, m'bnei ma nechnas tel chur v'zu. Don't you realize that you shouldn't be going into churvas? You shouldn't be going into broken down houses? Amati lo l'spal. He said, I went, so Rabbi Yossi responded, I went into daven because I knew that davening on the road is certainly not preferable. V'amali, so Elio Hanavi told Rabbi Yossi, "Hay lechal l'spal b'darach. You should have davened on the road." However, v'matila, Rabbi Yossi told him, "Misyari hayisi shemi yafsiku bi'ovrei drachim." I was concerned that on the road I would be interrupted by the passerbys walking back and forth. Omeli, so he told me, "Hay lechal l'spal tefillah k'tzara. You should have davened an abbreviated tefillah." We will learn later in our Masechta Halacha, we don't do this anymore. But in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they had what was called a tefillah k'tzara. Tefillah k'tzara is an abbreviated tefillah. If somebody, for whatever reason, for example, he's on the road and he can't concentrate properly, and the davening time comes, he's supposed to say a tefillah k'tzara. So Elio told Rabbi Yossi, it's preferable to daven on the road where there's a concern for lack of concentration. So just say a tefillah k'tzara, versus going in to a churva. Because as we're going to learn, going into a churva is something that should be avoided almost at all costs. However, I saw a very interesting observation in the Paiskim. We're going to learn now, as we get into the Gemara, that going into a churva is very, very unacceptable. So the question is obvious. If it's so unacceptable to be in a churva, when Rabbi Yossi was in the middle of davening and Elio saw him in the churva, he should have right away come and told him, stop davening, leave this churva. That's not what happened. He waited at the door. Why did he wait? He should have just asked him to go out. From here, the Paiskim show us, and it's something, I guess, that's relevant to all of us, how much we should avoid ever disturbing anyone who's in the middle of davening. Somebody is davening, unless it's, obviously, a life and death matter, should be, in the absence of that, don't disturb somebody who's davening. Wait, and then you'll talk to him. Says Rabbi Yossi, at that time I learned from Eliyahu HaNavi three lessons. Lamadati she'enech nosam l'churva, that a person should not go into this churva. Lamadati she'mispalim b'derech, that under certain circumstances one may daven on the road. Lamadati she'mispalim b'derech, if you daven on the road, mispal tefillah k'tzara, you should daven the abbreviated davening, the abbreviated version, before you get distracted. Vamli b'ni, ma kol shemata b'churva zu, now that you were in this churva, did you hear anything? Did you hear any voices? V'amarti lo, so Rabbi Yossi told him, I heard the following. Shemati baskol. We're going to have in our travels through Shas the concept of baskol many times. A baskol is not a prophecy. It's not a direct prophecy from Shemayim, but it's a voice emanating from Shemayim. There are a lot of different pshatim in baskol. The pshat that I always like to say over is that as long as we had a Beis Hamikdash, we had nevuah. That was the real thing. A baskol is like a daughter. It's not the real thing. It's a lower version. So now, I don't know how many of us hear baskols, but in Rabbi Yossi heard a baskol. He didn't hear a nevuah, but he at least heard a baskol. What did he hear? It was shemanemes kiyoina. It was wailing like a yoina. V'mata v'meris, and it said the following: Oy lebonim, as we had this nusach earlier. Because of their sins, I destroyed my Beis HaMikdash. I burnt the Beis HaMikdash. And now they are in exile between the nations. Vomali, Eliyahu HaNavi told me, I swear by your life and by the life of your head, not just at this moment, it says so every day, three times a day. And not only this, Ella, b'shar sheYisrael nichnasim l'batei knesiyos l'batei midrashos, when Klal Yisrael enter their shuls, v'oinin, when the Kaddish is recited, they answer Yehi Shmei Hagadol Mevarach, they say Yehi Shmei Rabba, Hakadosh Baruch Hu menanei roishai, Hakadosh Baruch Hu nods in agreement, v'oimer, and he proclaims Ashrei Hamelech, how praised is a king shemekalsim asay b'beis kach. How wonderful does a God, our Father, have children that praise Him this way. However, malo la'av, how unfortunate is it for the father, shehiglas banav, that his children are in exile. For oilem lebanim, how unfortunate is it for their children, shegolim al shulchan aviyem, that they are no longer at their father's table at the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. The Kaddish, in which we answer the Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, was written in Arabic. And Tosfos says people are under the expression that why was it written in Aramaic? Because there are midrashim that say that malachim don't understand Aramaic, and they want that our tefillah, our Kaddish, with such a powerful tefillah, to be able to go directly from us to God. Tosfos says just the opposite. Tosfos says the reason it was written in Aramish was because that was the language, that was the vernacular spoken in those days. And because Kaddish is such an important tefillah, it was specifically made to be said in Aramish that everybody should understand it because it's so important, it's such an important part of the tefillah. Tosfos also speaks about, since it's so important, we should mention it, what is Yehi Shmei Hagadol Mevarach mean? What should a person think when he's saying Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba? And Tosfos says that a person should be thinking that God's name should be blessed. We want to bless God. We want to thank God for everything. And we're trying to praise Hashem. Other Mefarshim, other Rishonim say that it's not a praise, but actually it's a tefillah. Actually it's a prayer. We're praying to God that His name should be great again. I saw interesting Chassan Sofer. The Chassan Sofer says, what's the difference if you consider it a prayer or you consider it a praise? A prayer, a tefillah, you're allowed to say sitting. So you're allowed to sit when somebody's saying Kaddish and you're saying Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. But if Kaddish is a shvach, a praise of Hashem, when you praise Hashem, you're supposed to stand. Continues the Gemara. Let's just speak about what the Gemara is going to be doing in the next couple of lines. The Gemara, we just established that a person should not go into a charva. The Gemara is going to tell us three reasons why one should not go into a charva. In explaining the three reasons in Talmudic logic, the question is going to be, why do you need all three reasons? One reason is enough. And the Gemara is going to say, well, sometimes that one reason isn't applicable. So the Gemara is going to say, okay, maybe one reason isn't enough, but maybe two reasons should be enough. Why do I need three reasons? Three reasons why you should not be allowed to go into a churva. That's what's going to happen in the next couple of lines. Tana Rabbanan. V'mnei shlosh dvarim ein nechnasim l'churva. For three reasons a person should not go into a churva. V'mnei chshat, that someone may falsely accuse him of meeting a woman for moral reasons in the churva. V'mnei amapolis, we're concerned that it may fall. V'mnei amazikin, because there may be shaden demons in that churva. So the Gemara begins to analyze this price. But Bnei Chshad, the first reason was because we're concerned who he may be meeting there. But typically, Mishma Pilus, what about the obvious reason? That you're concerned that the house is going to fall down on him and he'll get hurt. Answers Gemara, we go to Daf Gimel on the base, the Chadati. It's a new churva. What does that mean? It's a new structure. One wall of that structure actually fell, but it's unlikely to be concerned that the other walls will fall because it's a newly built house. But typically, Mishum Azikin, so why don't we just say the reason? Because of Shadim. Shadim don't care if it's a new house or an old house. Betray. You go with two people. And if there are two people, there's no concern for Shadim. Ask the Gemara, betray, if we're talking about a situation where there are two people, Chshad Namileka, as we know, there is an Isser, the Gemara Masech, the Kedushin, speaks about Issa Yichud. A man is not allowed to seclude himself with a woman who's not his wife or his mother or his daughter. So the halach is one man with one woman are not allowed to seclude themselves. One woman with two men may seclude themselves. So if we're talking here that there were two men, so there's no problem of chashad, there's no problem of anything going wrong because we're talking about two men. Answers the Gemara. Betray, there are two men, but they're pritzi. They are immoral, and since they're immoral, the heter of yichud, where one woman with two men, is only by men who are of perfect behavior. Interestingly enough, in Hilchas Yichud, there's a machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. What status do the two people have to have? The Shulchan Aruch says you have to know that the two men are ksherim. That's how the Rambam paskins. You have to know for sure that they're ksherim. The Ramah says, as long as you know that the two men are not prutzim, as long as you know that the two men are not immoral, even though you don't know that they're necessarily of perfect behavior, it's enough to allow yichud. Continues the Gemara, as we said, so each reason alone doesn't stand, but maybe two reasons together could stand. Why do we have to include the reason that we're afraid the house will fall? Why don't we say that there's a concern that he may be accused of doing something immoral, and there's the Shadim. Zok the Gemara, betray, we're talking that there are two people who are Ksherim, who are of moral behavior. So then there's no concern for Mazikin, because there are two people, and there's no concern for Chshad, because they're Ksherim. Continues the Gemara. Mabnei Mazikin, why did we have to mention the reason of Mazikin? Metapaglam of Nechshadim Apollos, just give us the reason of being accused and the house will fall. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about Bechor Chadati, it's a new Chorva, so we're not worried that it's going to fall. Or betray, and we're talking about two people who are kosher. Ask the Gemara immediately, if we're talking about two people, it betray Mazikin Namileka. Then there's no concern for Mazikin either, because we said that when there are two people, there are no Mazikin. Answers the Gemara, as Tosfos explains it, Bimkoimim Chshinon. In their place where the Mazikin have taken residence, they don't get worried about two people. If it's not, we don't understand this that well, but in a place where the Mazikin frequent, two people aren't enough to scare him away. V'bayis Eimel Oilim B'chad. There's really only one man. or b'chor v'chadati, and it's talking about a new churva. However, the koi b'davra, it's out in the fields. The hasam shum chshad leka, there is no concern for chshad, there is no concern for accusing the person that he's doing something immoral. The isha b'davra l'shchicha, there is no concern that a woman will agree to go all the way out to do something immoral. However, Mishum Azikim, the Mazikim don't mind. Actually, that's where they usually frequent. Mishum Azikim Ika, there is a concern in the Midbar. Tana Rabbanan. So as we said at the beginning of the Shir, there's a Shaila, how many Mishmaris are there in the night? Three or four. Rabbi Lezer, who we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, is saying three Mishmaris, and we've been working with him. But as we also said, there's really a Machlaikis how many there are. So we begin analyzing that Machlaikis. Tanabon Arba Mishmaris have a Laila Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that there are four Mishmaris in the night. Reb Nosson Oy Mishalish. And Reb Nosson says there are three. My Tam the Reb Nosson. Where does Reb Nosson back this off from? The Ksiv. Because there's a Pasuk in Shoiftim. For Yovai Gidon, who is one of the Shoiftim, Umeya Ish Asher Itai, 100 of his people came along with him to the Ktseya Machna, to the end of the Machna, Rosh HaShmara Tichayna, at the beginning of the middle Ashmira. Tana explains the Braisa. Eit Chayna, you can never have a middle, El Sheish Lefaneh Ulachreh, that there's something before and there's after. So if there's going to be a middle, you have one before and one after, plus the one in the middle, so you have three. Vremeya, Rebbe, according to Rebbe, who says that there are four Ashmiras, what's he going to do with this Pasuk? My Techayna, what is the definition of Techayna? Achas mena Techayna shebetechaynas, one of the two middle Ashmiras. What does Reb Nosson say to him? Reb Nosson miksev Techayna shebetechaynas. Does it say that there are two middle ones? Techayna ksev. There's one. Ask the Gemara, as the Mepharshim explain. If we look at this Pasuk, Reb Nosson is much easier to understand. Reb Nosson, it says Techayna, there's one in the middle, so it makes sense to say there are three, and very simple. We have, according to Rebbe, he has to start kvetching in the Pasuk, and saying that the Pasuk really means that there are two in the middle. Wouldn't it just be simpler to say like Reb Nosson? Obviously, Rebbe had a basis to believe that there were two in the middle. My Tam of the Rebbe, Amrav Zreka, Amrav Ami, Amrav Yishub and Levi, because he found a contradiction of Psukim and Tehillim. Kosov Acher Oimer, in one Pasuk it says that Dovra Melech says about himself, Chatzois Lail Okim Lahoidus Lecha, every night at midnight I get up to praise you, Al Mishpadei Tzedkecha, for your righteous rules. The Kosov Acher Oimer, another Pasuk says, Kidmu Enei Ashmiris, I open my eyes, Ashmiris, the plural Mishmiris are still left over. Hakeitzat, how can we reconcile these psukim? Very simple. If you say Arba Mishmaris have a Laila, there are four Mishmaris in the night, each Mishmar is 3 hours, so when Dovra Melch got up at Chatzois, at midnight, there are still, how many hours left? 6 hours. 6 hours is the equivalent of a Shmaris, of two Mishmaris, 2 times 3. But if you're going to say that each Mishmar is 4 hours long, so there are no, at midnight, at Chatzois, there are no two Mishmaris left. So how would Reb Nosson deal with this pasuk? Reb Nosson Sovel Krev Yeshua. The Tnan, when David HaMelech was measuring from Chatzois and saying that he gets up by Mishmaris, he wasn't measuring till the beginning of the day. He was measuring until the time when his colleagues, the other kings of the world, got up. When did the other kings of the world get up? They get up 2 hours into the day. If we go back to the introduction we said at the beginning of Shir, in the perfect day and night, that would be at 8 o'clock. 6 o'clock is the end of the night, plus 2 hours would be 8 o'clock. From 12 to 8 is how many hours? 8 hours. If each Mishmar is 4 hours, 8 hours is the equivalent of 2 Mishmaris. The Tnan, Rabbi Shua Aymer, at Shalosh Shos, until the 3rd hour, Shekein Derech Melochim, Lamed B'Shalosh Shos, kings in those days got up at the 3rd hour. So if you have Shista Laila from 12 to 6, Vitarti Yamama, and 2 more hours into the day, Havale Shte Mishmaris, 8 hours, which is the equivalent of 2 Mishmaris, 4 plus 4. Ravashi gives a different teretz. Ravashi Amar, Mishmar or Palga, a Mishmar and a half, which is 6 hours, four plus is one Mishmar, plus 2 hours is the half of the next Mishmar, Nami Mishmar is Karla, the Pasuk could already call it Mishmaris. Why? Because it's more than one. Mishmaris is a Lashon plural. It's more than one, so the plural language is appropriate. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rav Zreka, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yishu ben Levi. And Amar Bifnei Ames, El Dvar Shlomes. If there's a deceased person in the room, one should only speak about him, about things pertaining to his burial or to him in the room. Amar Rav Abba Rav Kahana, explains Rav Abba Kahana, L'Amar El B'Divri Torah. What is that speaking about? If we're talking about Divrei Torah, speaking Torah in front of a deceased person is particularly humiliating, because we know once a person dies, he can no longer say Torah, he can never no longer learn. And the Pasuk says, Loig L'Rash, someone who mocks a poor person, Cherf Eseyu, is acting very inappropriately. Here too, speaking Torah in front of a person who can no longer learn Torah is very degrading and should not be done. Aval Mila de Amma, speaking other issues, less lumbar, is not so disturbing, because the mess realizes that it's Narishkeit anyway and it doesn't bother him. Vikadamri, however, there's another version. Amar Av Avakamarna, Loemon Bidivri Torah, one should not speak Divrei Torah. Vikoshke Mil de Alma, that the mess is offended, here I'm laying and you should be dealing with my burial instead of talking about other things as I lay here deceased in the room. Taisa says, what's considered near a mess within his Dalet Amos? Should be approximately 8 feet. However, the Paiskim all say that the room that the mess is laying in, even if it's a larger room, should be considered like Dalet Amos. Continues the Gemara. The David, the Palg Delilah Havakoi, did David HaMelech only get up at midnight? Me'urta Havakoi, he got up at the beginning of the evening. Diksev, there's another Pasuk. Kidanti V'neshef, I get up at the beginning of the evening, Vashaveya, and I scream out in prayer to you. Umay Dehai Neshef Urtu, ask the Gemara, how do we know the Neshef means evening? Diksev, B'neshef, a Pasuk in Mishlei, B'neshef, Be'erev Yoim, so you see the Neshev is called Be'erev in the evening, Be'ishon Laila V'afelu, when it's dark. So, when did he get up? Did he get up at Chatzos, or did he get up at the beginning of the night? Amrav Oishi Amrav Acha, Hochi Kamar. This is what David HaMelech meant. Ma'olam lo'ovar like Chatzos Laila B'shina. By midnight, I was always up, no matter what. Earlier, sometimes I got up much earlier, sometimes I got up a little later, but by midnight I was always up. Rav Zeira Omer explains Rav Zeira. At Chatzos Laila, until midnight, Hoy Misnamnim Kitsus. David HaMelech slept like a horse. A horse sleeps very, very softly, and he wakes up, and he never sleeps for a very long time. Interestingly, it's also Negei Taloch Lamaisa. Because in Shulchan Aruch it says that you have to, it says two things in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to wash in the morning Netilas Yadayim Negel Vasser if you slept more than a Misnamnim Kasus. How much is that? So there are many different versions. Some say it's anywhere from 3 minutes to 3 hours. It also says, interesting in Shulchan Aruch, that nobody should sleep during the day more than Misnamnim Kasus. So probably it's worth saying that it's 3 hours. David HaMelech didn't want the Ruach HaTumah to come on him, so he slept like a sus for the first part of the night. Mikan Ve'elech, however, once Chatzos came, Ha'imuskaber Kari, he got up strong like a lion to do his Avodas Hashem. Rav Ash Omer, David HaMelech's night was divided into two. Ad Chatzos Lailoi Oysa B'Divrei Torah, the first half of the night he would learn. Mikan Ve'elech, the second part of the night, B'shiris for his Hizbachas, he would sing and praise Hashem. So we define Neshef as Urta, as night. Ask the Gemara, the Neshef Urtahu, is Neshef night? Ha Neshef Tzafruhu. I'll show you another Pasuk where Neshef is called morning. Diksiv, Vayakim David, in Pasuk Yishmul, David fought them, Mi'an Neshef from the morning, presumably, at a Erev L'Mechrosim, till the next evening. My laugh, doesn't the Pasuk mean Mitzafra from the morning at Laila? So we see that Neshev means morning, Loi. But the Pasuk means Mi'urta V'arurta, from one night to the next night. Ask the Gemara if that's what it means. The Pasuk should be inconsistent in its terminology. If it wants to call night Neshev, it should have said Neshev at Neshev. Or it should have said Me'erev at Erev. Why does it say Neshev and Erev? Presumably, Neshev and Erev are not the same thing. So therefore, the Gemara says, El Amarava, Trei Nafshi Hava. There are two Neshevs. Neshev means changing. You can have Neshev Laila, that the night goes away, Vas Yamayma, and the day begins, or Neshev Yamama, or the day ends, Vas Laila, and the night begins. So Neshev can mean morning, or can mean evening, depending on the context of the Pasuk. Ask the Gemara, V'David mi have a yod apal g'de Laila emas? How did David HaMelech, again, we said at the beginning of this year, they didn't have clocks. So how did David HaMelech know when was Chatzos? Hashta, Moshe Rabbeinu, lo have a yodah. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know when is Chatzos. Tiksiv, Moshe Rabbeinu told Paroi, by Makkos Pechoyrus, Kechatzos halayla, around midnight, and the yoytze b'toich Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch will come to Mitzrayim to kill the Bechoyrim, the firstborns. My Kechatzos, what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean by saying Kechatzos, around Chatzos? Ilayim, the Amalei Kutcher, Baruch Kechatzos, was Moshe Rabbeinu quoting Hashem, and that Hashem told him Chatzos? That's difficult to say. We may not know when Chatzos is, but God certainly knows when Chatzos is. El the Amalei b'Chatzos. Certainly, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, He told him, "I'm coming b'Chatzos at midnight." Thus, you, however, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he repeated this message to Paro, he said Kichatzos. Why? Because Am Sapkle, he wasn't exactly sure when Chatzos is, and we'll explain why he was being careful not to want it identified at Chatzos. It's tomorrow's daf. V'David havayada, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and David does know. Answers the Gemara, David simona havalei. David had a way, he had an alarm clock to show him when was Chatzos. Domer of Achba Bizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida. Kino hayutolu lamala mitasa shel David. There was a harp above the bed of David HaMelech. The Kivin Shigia Chatzos Laila, every night at Chatzos, Bar Ruach Tzfonis, a northern wind came, the Neshevas Bar, and blew into the harp, Umanagime Elov, and it would go play music by itself. And that would wake David. And the Mefarshim say from here, it's a raya that no matter how great you are, you should have an alarm clock if you want to be sure that you're getting up in the morning. Miyat to learn and daven. He immediately began to get up, study Torah, until the Amud HaShachar, the morning star, came up. As soon as day broke, the sages of Klal Yisrael came into him, and they told him, Adonainu HaMelech, our master the king, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. Your nation, Klal Yisrael, needs a livelihood. And the Mefarshim say, why did they do this exactly at Amud HaShachar? But they say two answers. Number one, they said, we learned at the beginning of the Shia today that at the end of every Mishmar is a time which is good for Tefillah. So Amud HaShachar is the end of the last Mishmar. Since it's a good time for Tefillah, you should use that time to daven and to Hashem for Panasa. Another thing the Mefarshim say is, from here we see how concerned David HaMelech and the Chachmei Yisrael were for every single Jew. They didn't begin the day talking about anything, just Parnasa of Klal Yisrael. How can we make sure that everybody's situation, financial situation, is fine? So we're going to explain the Gemara as the Netziv in the Meraim Esad explains the Gemara. Omlam l'chu esparnasu zu mizu. Everybody should make a self-sufficient economy. Everybody should have a livelihood. I'll buy from you, I'll sell to you. Omlam, they told him, Kaimitz, when a carbon mincha was brought in the base of Mikdash, was a mincha made out of flour and oil. You had a big pan, and a little pot, a fistful, was the only pot that was put on the Mizbeach. So it said a small fistful of flour isn't enough to feed a lion. We don't have enough, we aren't self-sufficient enough. Ve'en abor mismal mechiyonosai. A pit cannot be filled up. If you take out sand from the earth to make a pit, and then you put the sand back in, you'll never be able to fill the place up. We aren't self-sufficient, they were telling him. We can't make panasa off each other. Omlem l'chu u'pishtu yideichem begdud. Go protect yourself. Send out an army. Why? Because, again, they were not self-sufficient. The problem that the economy had was that finances were being drained because they had to spend a lot of money on defense. So he said, let's go conquer enemies, and we won't have to spend so much money on defense, on missiles, on all sorts of weapons, and we'll be able to have the money to be self-sufficient and support the economy. Miyad yoyetzim be'achitoyfel. They immediately confer with Achitoyfel. From the Melachim of Sanhedrin, then they go to the Sanhedrin. V'shayal and be'urim v'tumim, and they ask the Urim v'tumim, which were worn by the Kohen Gadol, which should light up to give answers to questions Klal Yisrael asks. Amar Rav Yosef, my crow, where in the Pasuk do we see that this was the process followed? V'achra Achitoyfel, the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, first we had Achitoyfel, then we have Binyo ben Yoyada, and then you have Avyasa, and the Gemara will explain soon who each person represents. And after these three people were dealt with, V'sar Tzvoi L'melech Yoyev, then we go to the general who was Yoyev. Achitoyfel Zayoyitz, Achitoyfel was the advisor who they went to first to ask his advice. V'ken Oimer, as the Pasuk says, V'as Achitoyfel Shiyotz B'yom Mahim, the advice Achitoyfel gave in those days. His advice was like somebody asking God alone. A brilliant advisor. Continues the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Binyoy ben Yoyada zeh Sanhedrin. Binyoy ben Yoyada was the Roish Bezdin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. Ve'v'yosor was a Kohen, so he represents the Urim V'tumim that were worn by the Kohen. V'kenu Oimer, as the Pasuk says, Binyoy ben Yoyada ala kresi ve'laplesi. Binyoy ben Yoda, first they went to Binyoy ben Yoda, and then they went to the Kresi v'Plesi, and Rashi explains Kresi v'Plesi means the Urim v'Tumim. The Loman Nikram Shimon Kresi v'Plesi, why are the Urim v'Tumim called Kresi v'Plesi? Kresi means to cut, Shekarsim Devarayim, they give a clear, concise answer. Plesi means wondrous, Shemavloim B'Devarayim, their words were wondrous, they gave brilliant answers. Vachkach, and after all of that, Satzvo Lemelech Yoyev. They went to the general Yoyev after they went through this process and everybody consented to going to war. Then they went out and with Hashem's help were successful.